Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this brand new day. We thank you for this Sunday school class and this worship service. Pray right now, Lord, that you will move me out of the way and allow me to be a vessel for your word, for your children all around the world. We say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, Blog Talk listeners and Runner for Christ members and partners. I'm Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate, and I will be starting in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll probably move on maybe a week or two. I'm not sure. The Lord moves the pace. Chapters 4 and 5. So 2 Corinthians 4 and 5 will be my coverage area. So just a reminder, the chapter 3 ended covenant, talking about the new covenant, the glory of the new covenant. Remember, the old covenant, written covenant, was the law, which ended in death. But the new covenant, which was provided, thankfully, by the Holy Spirit, provides eternal life. And that's something that, you know, we really need to keep focus on, because ultimately Paul's whole mission was to spread the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So let's keep that in mind as we move forward on to chapter 4. And looking at chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up." 2 says, "We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this." Looking back at verse 1, "Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up." The new way is the new covenant. The new covenant is that if you believe in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're saved, period. And you will spend eternal life in glory with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Hopefully, all of us who are listening understand that, believe that, and know that, and realize that, because that's the new way that Paul is discussing right here. And it says, we never give up. That means, literally, we don't give up. We don't make it a habit of going back to our old ways, because remember, the old ways lead to death. Sin leads to death, period, no matter what we think about it, no matter how we try to put our spin on it, no matter how we think things are supposed to turn out. The reality is sin leads to death. So Paul displayed a lifestyle of never giving up, no matter what he faced or what he went through, who had something to say in opposition against him. He never gave up. He just kept pressing forward. And that's what we need to do. And Jesus, in the same right, didn't give up. I mean, imagine if Jesus gave up, there wouldn't be a new covenant. Jesus would have said a long time ago, "Hey, I'm good. They're on their own." But he didn't. He kept going. So we have positive examples and role models to draw from as we live our daily lives. Amen? Amen. Verse 2 says, "We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods." We know what shameful deeds and underhanded methods are. Those are the things that we like to do as humans. And if there's something that you wouldn't do in front of the presence of God comfortably, then it is shameful, underhanded. And I'm not going to sit up here and act like I don't participate in shameful, underhanded deeds, because I have, and I do. And you have to be honest with yourself to recognize that part of you, that old sin nature, that enjoys sin, that is accustomed to sin. We live in these human bodies, these fleshly bodies. So we're accustomed to sin because we were born into it. So it's familiar. So shameful deeds and underhanded methods are normal for us, you know. And there's a constant war going on between that old sin nature and the spirit inside of each and every one of us. No matter what your title is, no matter what your calling is, even kids that are saved have to deal with that constant war of sin nature versus the spirit. We have to understand that the spirit is stronger, that the spirit is almighty, that the spirit is never going to leave you nor forsake you. The spirit is here to stay no matter what you believe or what you think. Do we all have times when the Lord seems so far away? Yes. Do we all have times when we question God, like, why do you have me going through X, Y, and Z? We all have that. But the reality is that we're more than conquerors. We have the spirit inside of us. So we can put shameful deeds and unhanded methods to rest. We just have to work at it. Amen? Amen. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. You know, we discussed this yesterday out of 1 Timothy 6, where a lot of people have distorted God's word, twisted it, and, you know, fashioned it to their liking, to their beliefs, to their opinions, to make money, to make people feel comfortable, to, you know, participate in underhanded methods and shameful deeds. I recently bought a shirt. I follow a young brother named Alan Parr on YouTube, and he's actually a student of Dr. Tony Evans. And the shirt says, he said what he said, and, you know, it has Jesus at the bottom of it. Jesus is the Word. The Word is living, is breathing. It's what it is. God doesn't need your interpretation of his Word. I personally try to make it a habit of going from the Word. Now, if there's something that I went through that is personal that I can help relate that message, brothers and sisters, or the audience, or whoever it may be, then I will plug that in there and say, hey, I used to do this, and this is how I got over. This is what the Lord took me through. This is what the Lord instructed me to do based upon this word. We can't distort God's word and think that something good is going to come from that, because it won't. God said what he said. He doesn't need our distortion of his word. He doesn't need us to trick anyone into believing in who he is. We just simply need to plant seeds and expand in God's kingdom. The same way Paul did. I think 1 Corinthians was the second letter, and 2 Corinthians was the third, because the original one got lost. Now, you and I probably can speculate that when folks saw that letter, they was like, oh, no, we can't let this get out. So Paul was trying to instruct the church at Corinth about not trying to trick folks into becoming saved or trying to distort God's word, because that's not what it's about. It's simply just putting out God's word, telling the truth before God and before everybody else. And it says, all who are honest know this. You know, one thing about lies, they complicate things. Lies change things. They distort the truth. That's what a lie is, pretty much, is distorted truth. And you can get caught up in a web of destruction and chaos over lies, because you have to feed the original lie with other lies to give the lies truth. But they don't get truth because they're lies. In your mind, they're truth because it's your own distortion of the truth. But when you tell the truth, it's what it is. Jesus said what he said in the word, and that's that. Give people the word. People need to know the truth. The truth is God's word. And that's what Paul did on his mission. He gave the truth. The truth is so easy to keep up with because it is what it is. Amen. Amen. Verse 3 says, if the good news we preach is hidden behind the veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. We know the good news to be the gospel that Jesus lived, he died, and he rose from the grave to pay for all of our sins. I wish that we could really grasp that as being the truth, because we get so twisted up when we get a bill that we can't pay, or when things don't go our way, or when the news is bad, we consider it to be bad. Count it all joy, because God is still in control. He hasn't lost. He doesn't know failure. So the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil. It's hidden only from people who are perishing. So these are people who are rejecting the whole notion that Jesus died and rose for their sins. People, we need to understand that there's only a fraction of the people on earth who are saved, who are professed believers. So the rest of those people are hidden behind the veil. They're basically lost. Because if you're not a child of God, you're a child of Satan. And Satan's whole thing is to keep you lost. His whole piece is, if I can create an illusion that this side is better than being saved, then I'm all for that. And Satan has been up to his old tricks, because they've worked since the beginning of time, since the first two people on earth. So imperative that we are soldiers of the cross like Paul was, and serious about expanding God's kingdom, because the good news needs to go forth. It's a reason why the world is in the shape that it's in. It's a reason why the Lord is trying to get everyone's attention. We have been in the last days, and remember, each passing moment gets us closer and closer to eternity, whether that's eternal life for God's children or eternal death for Satan's children. Amen? Amen. Verse 4 says, who is the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Remember, Satan's power, his very being, comes from God. He has to get permission to do any and everything from God. But even Satan understands that hell is coming for him and the other demons and for people who are not saved. Because if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not living, you're dying. And God's children have eternal life waiting on them. The lost have hell waiting on them. Now, hell isn't open yet, but it will be. And you basically set your reservations before you leave the planet. My reservations are already set for glory, paradise, heaven. If you don't have your reservations set for glory, your reservations are set for hell. And that's just what it is. That's the reality of what's to come. So you can try to distort. You can try to change it to your beliefs that God ain't mad at you and he wouldn't send you to hell. The word is what it is. Jesus didn't come to die on the cross and rise from the grave for nothing. Period. So you can get busy living for the Lord, and just not in the physical, but in all aspects. Or you can get busy perishing or dying and, you know, get ready to meet Satan in hell, because he wants more, he wants all the company he can get. Amen? Amen. And it says, they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. It's hard for people to see anything when they know everything and they reject. People that don't need to know any, that need to learn, they reject what they don't know. See, it's imperative for us to read God's word and to apply it to our daily lives so that we can share it with others like as easy as we breathe. Because there are a lot of people who can't see it, who can't understand that Jesus is God's son and that he lived on earth historically as a man, but he was God's son spiritually even to this day and survived went through crucifixion and overpowered the grave. A lot of people have a hard time believing that and understanding that. To know what we know based upon God's word and to spread that word willingly, like Paul did. He's our example, like Jesus is and so many other brothers and sisters that we read about in the Bible. Amen? Amen. Verse 5 says, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. Let me read that one more time. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. That's the message. Jesus Christ is Lord. We're saved as his children, as Jesus' brothers and sisters. We're saved. We don't preach about us. Everything needs to be centered around Jesus. What Jesus did, what he continues to do for us. Make that thing personal. Paul did. He made it personal. It wasn't about him. It's not about your degrees. It's not about your job. It's not about how much money you make. Because the truth of the matter is, all that you are is because of God's grace and his love for you. So it's not about you. It's about being a servant for Jesus. It's about preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, how you got saved, if nothing else. And you don't have to preach people in the ground. Just share. But also, be willing to show love and to build relationships. Don't preach people to death. I tell anybody, I don't care for churchy people. What do I mean by that? If I say good morning to you, you quote three or four Bible verses to me in return. All I said was good morning. I've been saved since I was 10. I'm 44 years old. I know a lot about the Bible, and I'm thankful that I was raised in a family that knew about the Bible and sent me to church. It's about Jesus. It's not about you. Take time to cultivate relationships, to talk to people. And honestly, the truth is, when they see how you live and they see study your speech, how you carry yourself, and how you deal with situations, whether you're facing adversity or all is well, that's one of your biggest, testimonies, just how you live. Be a regular person with an extraordinary spirit because of God's presence in you. Amen? Amen. We have about 5 minutes left. We're going to deal with verse 6, and then we're going to shut it down for today. Well, not shut it down, but move forward in this worship service. Verse 6 says, "For God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. For God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ." Remember, if nothing else, light dispels darkness. Light is going to always conquer darkness. Remember, God doesn't fail. He doesn't. That's not a part of who he is. He doesn't fail. And we already have the light because we're saved. So the light is going to shine in our hearts. And we have to understand and recognize that it's the glory of God within us, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Because once you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in. And he's not going anywhere, ever. He's with you for all time. So we're supposed to shine our light and know that the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ, again, is going to always be centered around Jesus because of what Jesus did for you. You're saved, and your light is supposed to shine before men so that they can glorify our Father in heaven. And let's make that thing personal. As we move forward through chapters 4 and 5 of 2 Corinthians, let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for allowing us to share in your word. And we thank you for being in the midst of us as we're gathered throughout this broadcast, Lord, around the world, to worship you and to praise you. Lord, bless the pastor right now that he gives a word that you prepared for this audience and use him as a peer vessel. And we thank you for each and everyone that's participating today. Bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Pastor Jonathan, for that lesson. It was so good. Hey, just keep our minds stayed on Jesus. The world is starving for the good word about Jesus, and we're supposed to tell them, and you know, people are supposed to see God through us. Amen.
Yes, indeed. Good. Amen.
Yeah, good lesson. And we just thank you. We can't wait till next week for more.
All right. Thank
you.
We appreciate you.
Yeah. Have a good day.
You too.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to go right into our service, and we're going to have a song, and then we're going to carry right on. Amen. What a way to start this morning. It's all in your name, Lord. Whatever we want is all in your name. Happy about it. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Runner for Christ Ministry Sunday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own Brother Deacon Oliver Welch. Good morning.
Good morning, and how are you, Miss Kathy?
Just wonderful, wonderful. Thanks for being with us this morning.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Okay. Yes, I'd like to say good morning to our Blog Talk Radio family and to Running for Christ, my family on that too. Today's scripture is from Romans chapter 12, 1 through 13, and it is titled, A Living Sacrifice to God. And it reads as follows. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of this privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think that you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts by doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach. Teach well. And if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and with delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them and always be eager to practice hospitality. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you the much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. And Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. And we ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayers, and preached words so that all those who are lost will be found. And dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. And let the church and family say, amen.
Amen, amen. I just love, I said over and over, I just love that scripture. It says God's will for us, good, pleasing, and perfect.
Amen.
Just, yeah, take time and read that scripture throughout the week and do what it says. That's just powerful. Thank you, Brother Oliver. Thank you, and have the best day ever.
Okay, thank you so much again.
All right. All right, now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen, and thank you, Sister Clyburn. Thank you, Brother Oliver. We appreciate both of you, and thank you, Dr. Jonathan. Yeah, I don't have made you a doctor, not that boy. Verse by verse, amen, paragraph by paragraph. That's called expository teaching. And if you tune in yesterday to our worship service, you'll hear Pastor Jonathan Tate do some expository preaching. Amen. That's the way we need it, y'all. Hey, you know, I love this song. It's by this young girl named Jokia, young sister in Christ. I had a chance to chat with her on YouTube. And she has this song out. It's called Yahweh. And I love it how she used Yahweh, because a lot of us don't recognize that name. We think it is Hebrew. It is the name that the Hebrews came up with. They added no consonants to it, but we did some A's and E's, amen, and we made Yahweh. We Americanized it and called it Jehovah, but what it means is the name you see in Genesis chapter 2, which is different from the name you see in Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, that's God doing his thing, God the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, in the act of creation. So there's nobody to commune with, nobody to relate with. But in chapter 2, God has created man and would later create woman. And so a different name shows up in Genesis chapter 2 around verse 4. It becomes the Lord our God. Now we have the Lord our God who tells us what to do. This song simply says, I call you Yahweh. That means I call you Lord. You know in Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do what I say?
When you
You know, the Lord said in his sermon on the mount, you know, the Lord cares about our relationship with him, our secret relationship with him. I know we have a visible, verbal relationship with him, right, where the world gets to see it. As Pastor Jonathan Tate talked about, we should be the light of the world, salt of the earth. You heard Crystal preaching about that yesterday. Yeah. Amen. But God lets us into that secret place, and we should desire that. We should want to be one-on-one with the Lord. We should want to be on the Mount of Transfiguration. We should want that, amen, thing that God wants to show us, just us, by ourselves. Amen? Amen.
When I call your name out from the valley, you come, you come. And when I call your name out from the hills, you come, you come. I wanna be where you are, 'cause you are where I am. I wanna be where you are, 'cause you are where I am, yeah. Oh, when I call your name out from the valley, yeah,
you come, you come.
And when I call your name out from the hills, Yahuwah, my yeah. That I wanna be
You're where I am. I wanna be where you
I love that song where it says, I want to be where you are because you are where I am. You know, it took me a long time to figure out that God knows what makes me happy. God knows what brings me pure joy. So I want to be where he is because he is where I am. Amen. All of us ought to want that. The Lord was talking to me this morning, and he said to me, I tell my people, come near to me. Notice we have to come near to him. In the Old Testament, he said, when my people turn from and turn to. So we have the first step to make. When my people, hey man, come near to me, guess what? The Lord says, I'll come near to you. I remember when the Lord drew Moses near with a burning bush. Hey man, God trying to draw us near, y'all. He want a better relationship with us than this strange thing we seem to be in love with. Hey man. We're going through some hard and tough times, and God is allowing, Jesus is allowing all this to happen, y'all. Don't get no, the devil ain't running wild. You heard Pastor Jonathan Tate say he got to get permission to do anything in this earth realm from Jesus. He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings already. He ain't waiting. He's sitting on the throne. Father say, sit here till I make your enemies your footstool. So the devil got to get permission just like he did for Job. He still got to do that. That's why God let us see that. So he just don't get to run wild. But if the Lord is allowing the devil, amen, to come in and strain everything about your life, amen. His daughter, Ja'Kalyn Carr, oh, she wrote a song, and you need to hear it.
Show me your sign. So today I shall attend. carried him. And even when it hurted him the most, he still had faith in his God that lifted his voice and declared, he will grow. Somebody declare, the Lord, he will provide. I've never seen the eyes of the prophet, nor he sees that the bread he will provide. You ought to wave your hand and shout, the Lord, he will provide.
Amen. Jehovah Jireh, he will come through and provide. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimonies. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. All right, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Sister Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Sister Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks' Pray to the Lord. Amen.
God provides, so why do I worry about my life? When you come to my rescue a thousand times, every other voice it is a lie. God provides, God provides, in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, he multiplies. Just when I feel he won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I see, and my feelings can't control my destiny. See, God, I only want what you believe for me. tonight. Close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you today with grateful hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for making all of this possible. Your love for mankind is so deep, it costs you everything. Even though we were the least worthy. Thank you, Lord. Father, right now, our prayer is for your church. We pray that your church will be unified in your purpose, Father. Search our hearts individually and bring about repentance where we have allowed the enemy to divide us, so that we can effectively proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to this lost world. We acknowledge that our effectiveness comes by our unity in your truth. We pray that your glory is manifested through your people in these days, so that more people may come to know your love and to serve you. We repent right now and confess our sin where we've lacked compassion and forgiveness for one another. We put down our petty arguments and surrender it all to you today. Remove the fog from our eyes so that your children will know that when we have unity, then we make it possible for the world to know your love for mankind. We know that you want us to know you in a personal and intimate way. We acknowledge that you want us, your children, to know each other in a personal way. Let us turn from doing the ritual of church and be your church in the earth and come near to you. Lord, remember the many people around the world who are suffering from this virus. There are many people who are sick and can't get well. People who are out of work, they can't make a living, Lord. And the cost of living around the world, people can't afford housing. Children are suffering because they're depending on adults. They are now orphans. The education system for children is suffering greatly. We pray for those who are working in the medical field, caring for the sick. They're working long, hard hours. Give them strength and peace of mind. We know that our help comes from you, Lord, and we're crying out to you right now for help. Lord, we pray for our nation. Week after week, the sins of this nation are smeared across our TV and telephone screens. We are reminded of the cries of our ancestors because of slavery and oppression of Africans who were brought to this country as disposable property. We are their children, and we are still crying out to you today. Open the eyes of the hearts of your people that they may look into your word and be moved with compassion, because these systems are still in place, oppressing and killing and causing people to fall into sin. We are also the illegitimate and denied offspring of the people who were engaged in these evil acts. Cause all of your people, no matter which side they come from, some of us both, to look into your word and see that there is a need for repentance. We can repent for the sins of the past. And there's a need for restitution because the sins of this nation are great. And it's not just against a people, but they are sins against you. Out of the foundation of this nation came racism and classism and the survival of the fittest. Let your church stand up for your righteousness and lead the way. We pray that the people of God come forward and not be afraid to advance the kingdom of heaven. Give us wisdom and courage to speak the truth in love. We pray for the leaders of our nation, our president, Joe Biden, our vice president, Camilla Harris. We pray for the, or Kamala Harris, we pray for the leaders in Congress and our state. We pray for our governor, the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer. We pray that they have hearts to serve. Your word says that wisdom begins with fear of the Lord, and we pray that they seek your guidance because they have difficult jobs. We pray for their safety and health. Let the people in our government put down their differences and understand that when we fight against each other, we are only fighting against ourselves. Move on the hearts of those in government who are only seeking to serve themselves. Expose their hearts and cause them to repent. But ultimately, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
I've done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me. I need you right away. I need you. Needed you before to show up and restore all of the faith that I left while I was yet searching the world for more. The truest friend I have indeed, you're my best friend I know in need.
Thank you, thank you. We have the victory in you, Lord. We need you now, right away. Thank you, Deaconess Nicole, for making our request known to God. We appreciate you. So far, we are having a great time this morning and with more to come. I want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, you If you have been blessed by this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Okay, time for the preach word, a message from God. Icing on the cake, the best part. After this selection, the next voice you will hear to read scripture and to introduce our preacher of the hour is our very own Sister Deaconess June Rogers. Let's prepare to receive Deaconess June Rogers as she introduced the preacher of the hour in her own way. Amen.
Holy, holy. Let us bow down before the Lord God, our maker. Let's get intimate, yo. Let's worship him. Cast down my crown to worship you in spirit and truth. As I see you on the throne, I see your train fills the roof. I'm on bended knees, hands extended, closed eyes. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord the Most High. What with me? I'm a man with unclean lips. And I live amongst the people who's on the same trip. Then when Sarah flew to me with coal in his hands, touched me on my lips, said I was a brand new man. As the foundation shook, he's asking, who shall he send? I said, send me, Lord, I'll commit to faithful men. Sometimes, Lord, I feel like I don't give you enough to count a pure joy, to persevere when times get tough. So I keep a concentrated relationship fixed on you. I keep my eyes to the hills so I can have a right view. I stand in awe of you, how you measure the earth with the palm of your hand, and yet and still you want to be friends with such an unclean man. So like John, I fall prostrate on this island of life. I worship you, recognizing you in power and might, glory and light, eternal in sight, blameless and right, creator of life, thief in the night, Jesus the Christ.
I see the Lord seated on the
divine works all around me. I can't get past the evidence. The fact that you're invisible to me is irrelevant. I know you're heaven sent straight to the virgin birth. Gave me a second chance even after man's curse. A third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. You wore my crown of thorns. You took my licks as they spit in your face. Off the cross of sinner you embraced. Now I understand what's the meaning of grace. I war against the flesh, can't wait till the day that you come. Cause every day I'm rewriting Psalm 51. From the weak to the dumb, you make us shine like pearls. Got a new engagement, broke up with that girl named World. The relationship wasn't fruitful, I was Satan's pupil. They told me you was an unfair God, I believe those lies. I know the truth now, cause you've been fair since creation. Man failing and you gave man emancipation. I know the saying, one sin can make man fall, but with one drop of blood, he can save us all. I'm a living sacrifice, I lay my life upon the altar. I pray to have faith that don't forsake you like a martyr. I have a desire, that's to know you more. I have no choice to live holy, cause I see the Lord.
Yeah.
is full of his glory, and the foundations of the threshold tremble at the voice of him who called out. While the temple was filled with smoke, I said to myself, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst the people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one seraphim flew to me with burning coals in his hands. He touched me on my lips. He said, my iniquity is taken away and my sins forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me.
Here I am. Send me. Good morning, my fellow Christian soldiers. Do you feel it? Are you sensing in the spirit what I am sensing from the songs that were played, from the heartfelt prayer that was led by Deaconess Nicole? There's a sense of urgency. God is telling us that he needs all hands on deck. So let's get ready for our orders. Pastor has asked me to read today Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, and then verses 36 through 41, also from Acts. I will be reading from the New Living Translation. His sermon series that he's preaching now, and this will be part two, is The Church That Jesus Built, and the subtitle is The Birth. And it is written, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas around Libya, Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. Verses 36 to 41. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. Bless, bless, bless. Get just how blessed you are down into your spirit. You may be struggling with something this morning, or you may be in lack. But for anything you are facing, true truths can make a difference. First, that God is with you and will never, ever leave or forsake you. And second, he has given us this wonderful, living, powerful word that we call the Bible. Hebrews 4 declares God's word as living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Oh, God's word is even so much more, and it will reach the four corners of the earth. You listening in from faraway places are proof of that. By your presence this morning, you become part of this chain where the word of God is spread throughout the nations. Your role in spreading the gospel is as important as that of the Ethiopian long ago whose sincerity to understand the word was blessed with a visit by the Apostle Philip. I believe this morning that you too are eager to hear and understand the word of the Lord. And God has sent us one prepared like Philip to take us from wherever we are to understanding these passages read from Acts chapter 2. Pastor Overall has answered the call of Jesus to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Come now. Let's welcome Pastor O as he shares what God sent him to about the church that God built. Repeat this after me and make sure you do it loud and enthusiastically. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Hey, man. Thank you, Deacon June Rogers. Appreciate you. And tell my boy Ray I say hey.
All right. God bless.
Hey, man, always the perfect setup. And then I say, Jesus, I got to fulfill what she just said. He says, you don't have to do it. I'm going to do it through you. Amen. Then I get real comfortable. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you allow us to come together. The devil tried to stop us with COVID-19 and got us, you know, a little bit outside the walls. But we are church without walls, Jesus. We are just like it was back in the day when you birthed the church into the world. So, Lord, we thank you that you have given us a means to communicate, and we thank you for that. Now I pray, Lord, that the word go forth just like you intended to, and that I know you're going to, whoever hears it, I know you're going to do what you do. Holy Spirit, do your thing. I'm going to preach it like you told me to, and you go ahead and make happen with it what you will. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you so much for it. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today. And Lord, bless my heart so it receives your word today, because I acknowledge to you I'm a bit conformed to this world. But I'm here to be transformed, to be renewed, to change the way I think with your word, so I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. Amen. Ain't it a wonderful thing that God has a good, pleasing, and perfect will? You know, we always think God got something because of what we did or said or might not have done or said. Amen. But no, he's got a good, pleasing, and perfect will for your life. It doesn't matter what's going on, or what you did, or what you didn't do that he told you to do. Amen? He still has a good, pleasing, and perfect will. He don't have a bad. God said, I know the plans I have for you, and they're not bad. Jeremiah 29, nah, I don't have no bad plans for you. God never said in the Bible he had a bad plan for you anywhere. Amen? His plans are to prosper you, to give you hope, to give you peace, to give you joy, to give you long-suffering, to give you peace. That's his plans. You don't have no plans to do nothing mean to you. Amen. Sin already taking care of that. That's automatic. Amen. I thank God for everybody who has gone before me, starting with Pastor Jonathan Tate and that excellent expository taught Sunday school lesson. Amen. You know, a lot of times we try to dig into God's word and make it say something, but I think the Lord just said what he said. Amen. We need to take it like that, right? Amen. I want to thank Deaconess Kathy Clyburn for getting Deacon Oliver Welch and getting Deaconess June Rogers and getting Deaconess Nicole C. Brooks. Amen. I kept opening my eyes, I ain't going to lie, because I was like heaven coming down. I saw heaven coming down when she was praying. See, we don't understand. We can move heaven, y'all. That's why Jesus say, when you pray, say, Our Father. So you're approaching the right person and the right place to bring heaven down to earth. And if you listen carefully to her prayer, she brought heaven down to earth. Amen. Now, June Rogers, I'm like, Jesus, is any heaven left up there? The way she prayed yesterday, I'm like, Jesus, is any heaven left in heaven? Because I think she didn't. And Nicole, they done brought heaven to earth. And that's what you want to do when you pray. Amen. So I thank God for all of them and for using me on this day. Hey, we're celebrating 18 years. 18 years of what Jesus has done. 18 years of teaching, learning, and doing. And trust me, at Running for Christ, that is all we do. We don't have no afternoon programs, you know. Other churches have them all the time. So when we could, if we wanted to go to one, you know, we'd go over here, go over there, you know. Pastor Kenlock, he always got something going on, amen. So if you get out of church and you need something else to do, Pastor Kenlock, he got something for you to do. Amen. Go over and enjoy. Amen. I just tell the members, if you're going to go and enjoy a concert, will you please leave an offering? Don't go in there and say, it was for free. No, it wasn't. That wasn't nothing. Amen. Leave an offering. You always want to bless those who have blessed you. Amen. 18 years of doing what Jesus say. Amen. On last week, we talked about what we call the lost 40 days. Amen. And I told you about a study that Ray Downing, a computer imaging scientist, had done. And what he wanted to do is trace out Jesus after he rose from the dead. And if you get a chance, you need to look at it so you can get into those last 40 days. Why? Because those last 40 days show Jesus after he got up. We love to talk about walking the dusty hills of Palestine, okay, for them 3 years. But we don't talk a whole lot about those last 40 days, which rightfully titled by Ray Downing is the lost 40 days, because you don't hear a lot of preachers talking about it. You don't hear a lot of preachers preaching about it. You don't hear a lot of teaching about it. And I challenged his title. But when I did some research, I found it's true. We talk about everything else in the Bible, and we even say he got up. But we don't talk about those six appearances to his disciples, amen, so he could prove to them that he really got up, amen. They kept thinking they were seeing a ghost right up until the last time he was here when he met them in Galilee on that mountaintop where he told them to go to Galilee and I'm going to see him there. When he met him there, some doubted. The Bible says, and some doubted, and I couldn't believe it. Here Jesus is, who got towed up on Friday, is standing here in front of you. You can feel he touch, and you still doubt. Amen. I love what John said in his gospel. He said to when Thomas, you know, that was the fourth one. Let me tell you, the first one was the women. Jesus appeared to the women, and the women went and told the men who was hiding in the upper room. And they looked at them like they was crazy. We love to call Thomas doubting Thomas, but they doubted too. They doubted the women. And Jesus chastised them for it, talking about, why are you so hard to believe? These women told you I got up. Why you ain't believe them? They only told you what I said. So you didn't believe me when you didn't believe them. Amen. Somebody just got blessed. Amen. So the women saw him first. And then the men on the road to Emmaus, they saw Jesus second. They were some of his disciples, not the 12 that we always hear about, or at this time the 11, since Judas is where he belongs, right? Okay, the 11. These were just two of his disciples, some of his other disciples. The word disciple simply means follower or learner would be better. Jesus is their master. They learn from him. He's discipling them. And that's why Jesus told the church to go out and make disciples of all nations, not church members. We got tons of church members, about two disciples out of each church. Something is going wrong. Amen? So anyway, he shows up to these two. And the next time, same day, Sunday, he appears to his disciples. They're in the upper room. The door securely locked. They made sure that it was written in there that the door is being securely locked. They was hiding out. They were scared to death that what happened to Jesus was going to happen to them. So they hiding out in the upper room. Amen. And then here Jesus is in the upper room. No, he didn't come through the door because it's securely locked. But Jesus, with the glorified body he got now, he don't need to come through the door. If he want to be in your house, he in your house. Amen. Body and all. He has somehow figured out how to take them atoms and manipulate other atoms and pass right through them without tearing himself up. You know, if if Scotty don't beam you up right, part of you could be on the planet, other part of you on the ship. They had to go back and beam up the other part. Well, Jesus didn't have to worry about that. Them atoms walked right through the wall or the door and was in the room. Amen. That ought to tell you something. Wherever you are, Jesus is. That just somebody just got blessed again. That's two blessings. Amen. So this is now his third appearance. His third appearance is to his disciples, the 11. Okay? But Thomas wasn't there. So 8 days later, from the day that Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus appears, and Thomas is there. And Thomas turned around, and guess what Jesus said to Thomas to demonstrate that he's omnipresent and omniscient, know everything. Jesus said, now Thomas, Jesus wasn't there when Thomas got back, and the disciples told him that Jesus is risen. We saw him, and Thomas told them, y'all all crazy like the women. I ain't believing it unless I can touch the nail prints in his wrist or his hand, that Greek word, part of the hand, or see the pierced in his side and touch that too. But Jesus wasn't there when Thomas said that to the disciples. Now, 8 days later, Jesus shows up again, and Thomas is there, and Jesus says to Thomas, come here, touch these nail prints. Come here, touch this in my side. Thomas knows Jesus wasn't there. Thomas is like, When Philip went to get Nathanael and Jesus said, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. And Philip and Nathanael said, my Lord and my God. And now here's Thomas. Jesus wasn't in the room when he expressed his doubts about his resurrection. But now, amen, Jesus is in the room and Jesus said, come here and touchy-feely, Thomas. I love what Jesus told Thomas. You believe because you saw me. Come on, somebody. We are blessed because we believe and have not seen him. Amen. Now, if you tell me you saw Jesus, I want to know how you got back out of heaven. I only know two people, or a few people who did that. Two of them didn't come back. Elijah ain't come back. Amen. Enoch ain't come back. But Saul, Paul, who later became Paul, he went to heaven. Pastor Janice Tate going to be teaching on that coming up when we get to chapters 13, 14, and, 11 through 14, 10 through 13 in the book of 2 Corinthians, where Paul went up to the third heaven. In other words, above what we call heaven, the skies, and above the stratosphere, he went to where God was. He went to God's heaven, where God lives, where Jesus is, seated at the right hand next to the Father. But when he came back, he couldn't tell us a whole lot about that. Amen. Amen. So, amen. Thomas says, I believe because I saw you. Now, the fifth appearance of Jesus is to his about seven of his disciples. They're back in Galilee now. They've been with Jesus for 3 years. They didn't got broke. So Peter's like, I'm going fishing. And they say, well, we going with you. And so they fished all night, didn't catch nothing. You know the story. Then the next day, Jesus show up on the shore. They don't recognize his voice, and neither do they recognize his frame. I don't know if God was doing them like them boys on the road to Emmaus. He kept them from it. Amen. Let me tell you something. You can't see Jesus unless he wants you to see him. You can look for him here, there, and everywhere, but until he reveals himself to you, you are not going to see him. And sometimes Jesus told his disciples one time, when Lazarus died, he said, I'm glad I wasn't there for your sake, that you might believe. Amen? Sometimes he will not be there for your sake, for your good, so you might believe. I'm going to share something with you, so embarrassing, but I'm going to share it because he wants me to. The Lord and I hang together a lot, every day, all day. We do everything, even when I get ready to mess up. He'd be trying to talk me out of it, but I still put my foot to the floor and burn that rubber. But anyway, We hang together all the time, and we have since we met. And I cling to him like a little dog that ran up in my yard when I was working on my car the other day and wouldn't let me move 2 feet without being all over me and had enough energy. I thought the dog was on 5 hour or something. He just kept jumping around. Anyway, me and Jesus hang like that. And so one morning I woke up, and I didn't feel his presence. And I immediately went into tears. And he said, you know how the disciples was in the boat and they was going through it and they didn't see Jesus until he came walking on that water or woke up and rebuked the storm? Okay, it was one of them kind of situations. I didn't feel the presence of Jesus. And I started crying as if I was a child who had been lost and left alone. And he immediately showed up and said, I'm here. And you know what he told me? He said, I told you I'll never leave you or forsake you. So even though you don't hear me, don't feel me, can't touch me, I'm there. Amen. So his disciples, amen, didn't recognize any of the things that they knew about him. And they fishing. And Jesus asked them, have you caught anything? They said, we ain't caught nothing. And Jesus said, throw the net over on the right side. This is a lesson right here. Do what Jesus tells you to do, like his mama said in John chapter 2. Do whatever he tells you. Just do it. Don't worry how it's going to work out. Just do whatever he tells you. Pastor Janice Tate preached that at our church, and I ain't never forgot that. Just do whatever he tells you. Oh, she, you know Janice, she going to preach it. She going to, ooh, Lord have mercy. She do it like somebody who's an eight and scraping the plate. When she get through, ain't no word left. Eight, praise God. Amen. So they threw the net over on the right side and caught 153 fish and couldn't hardly get it back in the boat. And then John recognized, Mary recognized him by his voice. The men on the road to Emmaus recognized him by the way he broke bread. The disciples recognized him because he was standing in the room, the same with Thomas. But this time, John recognizes him by what he did. Remember when Jesus told Peter in the borrowed boat that he borrowed to preach a sermon, and then he wanted to pay him off for that, give him an offering for letting him use the boat. And he said, launch out into the deep, and you'll take in a draw. And sure enough, they had to pull Peter and John, them was partners in the fishing business. So they all had to get together to get the fish. And you know why? Because Jesus gave them enough money to last 3 years. Peter and them had wives and families. And they running around with Jesus. Somebody had to provide for them. So even before they left on the missions, Jesus got them paid in full, like he did that woman. We was in class the other night. Deacon Eric Reed was teaching. And there was this woman, the Shunammite, the woman from Shunem, amen, them. Anyway, her and her little kids was about to die because they ain't had nothing left. And so the prophet asked her, what do you got in your house? And she said, I got some oil over here. I got a little cruise of oil over here. And he told her, go to all your neighbors, amen, and get all the pots you can get. And guess what? She went to all the neighbors. They got borrowed all the pots they could borrow, all of the vessels they could get. And he said, I started pouring the oil. Guess what? That little cruise of oil filled up every pot in that house. Now watch what Jesus did. Jesus said, now go and sell that oil. Amen. Pay off your bills. And you and your sons can live off the rest. Come on now. If you just trust him and do what he tell you to do, this is a sermon that ain't even my sermon. He say, just throw it over on the right side and you'll take in a draw. Now, last week we left off on his sixth appearance to his disciples. There's a total of 12, but we're talking the ones to his disciples. And it was said over there in Acts chapter 1 that he gave his disciples many proofs that he was really risen from the dead and that it was really him and that he was really alive. He would even eat food with them to show them, I ain't no ghost. Ghosts don't eat food. Spirits can't eat food. It just dropped to the ground. They put it in their mouth, dropped to the ground. Amen. If a spirit is going to eat some food, it need to be inside a body. So Jesus wanted them to know, I'm flesh and bone. Notice he didn't say flesh and blood. See, in us right now, without blood, we kind of crapped out big time. But Jesus says, I'm flesh and bone. Flesh and bone, hey, wait a minute. Flesh and bone, where your blood at, Jesus? You don't need blood no more. Why? He is the life in him. And one day, y'all, what is it, Philippians chapter 3, 20 and 21 says, we're going to get a glorified body like the one he got when he come get us. So we'll be flesh and bone. We can no longer bleed to death. Life will be in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit, that quickening spirit. Amen. I heard Dr. Tony Evans this morning talking about two Adams, amen, and that second Adam was a life-giving spirit, Jesus, amen. In short, the life he gives to us is eternal, and he lives in us, amen. So on this sixth visit, Jesus leaves. They ask him, Lord, are you at this time going to get a kingdom back to Israel? That's what old folks mean when they say, look, you so earthly minded, you ain't no heavenly good. Jesus said, that ain't even really none of your business, what the Father planned to do, when he get ready to do it. But here's what you need to pay attention to. You shall become my witnesses after you receive the Holy Spirit, because you're going to have the power to fight the devil. Peter tried to fight the devil after Jesus got arrested, and he didn't do such a good job. Judas tried to fight the devil and ended up hanging himself, falling apart, and bowels gushing out. Amen. So Jesus says, stay here in Jerusalem till the promise of the Father comes, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus, after he says this, lifts right up into the sky. Amen. Heaven had dispatched the Shekinah glory cloud Uber. Amen. Or it could have been a Lyft. I might as well plug them both. Amen. He dispatched the Shekinah glory cloud Uber or Lyft and took Jesus right on into heaven, because the Bible says a cloud hid him from their sight. So the cloud was what was carrying him into heaven. And while they were standing there just staring up into the sky, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, but heaven, two angels pop up dressed in bright white. And that gets their attention, and they take their eyes from looking up in heaven. See, that's how you become so heavenly minded, you ain't no earthly good. You looking up at heaven. You just heaven, 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 heaven. You live on earth. Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses. Not people who witness to heaven, 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 but people who tell people he died. Amen. And he was raised up on the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel. That is the good news that we preach. Amen. So they tell him this Jesus that you saw go into heaven that way, that same Jesus is coming back to this place that way. And then they disappeared. Now, after this, the disciples take a couple of the Psalms, I think 69 and part of 112, and they determine that Judas need to be replaced. And so they get the lots, and they get two people. And they say, they cast the lots, and the lots picked Matthias. So now they got 12. Amen. But they're still in Jerusalem, and they're waiting there for the promise of the Father. And that's what brings us to chapter 2, the birth of the church. Amen. Do you know how long Jesus waited to birth the church into the world? Do you know how long Jesus waited to birth witnesses to his death, burial, and resurrection into the world? Amen. And that is why it is called the church. You'll see church in the Gospels, I think, once in Matthew's Gospels when it says, on this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Did not say the gates of hell wouldn't fight against it, but it said the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against it. It didn't say that a weapon would not be formed, but it did say that the weapon would not prosper when it's formed against God's people, as long as God's people, amen, know that, believe that, trust, lean, and rely on that. Amen. The devil can't do nothing to you because you got power. Jesus said you're going to have power after the Holy Spirit comes on you. And listen to me, church, you've got power, unless Jesus lied. Oh, power to do what, Jesus? Power to use words to tell people you died and rose on the third day? Power to do that in the devil's world. You heard Pastor Jonathan Tate teaching this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that this is the devil's world. Amen. And just like Jesus told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this earth, meaning my kingdom is not sourced by this earth. okay? But it is in this world, operating in this world. And just like Jesus came here to do his Father's will and then went back to heaven, guess what, y'all? When we got saved, we're here to do our Father's will, and then we're going back to heaven. We want to say like Jesus said over there in John chapter 17, around verse 4, where Jesus said, Father, restore the glory unto me that I had with you before the world was. I have brought you glory. Guess how he did it? By finishing the work that his Father gave him to do. Well, guess how we going to bring our Lord and Savior glory? By finishing the work that he gave us to do. And what is that work? You shall be my witnesses. But you can't do that without power, because the devil ain't no joke. You need to go look at what he did to Job to find out the devil ain't no joke. You need to look at how he whipped Adam and Eve and tricked them right out of everything. The devil ain't no joke. The Lord advised Cain about his situation with his brother, but the devil, and then the Lord got through talking with Cain. He said, look, the devil is right over there. Evil is right over there waiting for me to leave, but you must rule over it. God gave Cain what he needed, his word, to rule over the devil. If Cain had stood on that word, he'd have never killed his brother Abel. Devil ain't no joke. We down here serving like Jesus. And if you notice, when you are serious, come on now. If you ain't all that serious a Christian, amen, then you ain't all that much a threat, amen. But you know what? Even the weakest Christian, and when I say weak, I'm just one that don't know the word of God. Do you know how many people in the Bible, in the body of Christ, have not read the word of God? Say they love Jesus, but Jesus knows. They haven't read his word. They haven't tried to get to know him. The devil ain't scared of you. Listen, the seven sons of Sceva over in Acts chapter 19 had heard Paul preaching. And they said, you know, let's go out and add to our little bag of incantations, because they were self-styled exorcists. And so they went and found themselves a man who was possessed with a demon. And they said to the man, in the name of Jesus, and got the demon's attention because they heard Jesus, whom Paul preaches. That's where they messed up. They don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. They just know his name. Amen. They don't have no real relationship with him. They just know his name. In the name of Jesus, who Paul preached, we cast you out. And the demons is like, God gave him permission to use that man's vocal cord, his larynx, his lips, his teeth, and everything it takes to talk. And he allowed them demons to take that, to talk through that man. And guess what they said to them seven sons of Sceva? Jesus, we know, because he kicked us out of heaven. We still feel that. And Paul, we know, because he cast my cousin them out everywhere he go. You read Acts chapter 16. That's how they got to know Paul. Amen. He cast one of their cousins out. Amen. But then they said to them, who are you? Amen. Amen. When the demons look at you, and you're a child of God, they know that, because they see the Holy Spirit in you, just like Jesus tried to hide in that body Mary gave him. Amen. He wasn't really trying to hide, but the demons would come up and say, Jesus, we know you, who you are, Son of the Most High God, Elyon's baby. We know you, Jesus. Guess what? They weren't referring to that body, because they never saw that body in heaven. They only saw that body on earth. But they looked right past that flesh and saw Jesus in there, the one who kicked them out of heaven. So guess what we see when they see you? Amen. It ain't about you. Yeah, Pastor Jonathan Tate said, it ain't about you. It ain't about us. It's about the Jesus in us. David said, it ain't about me. It ain't even about my sling. It ain't about this smooth stone. You coming at me with your sword and your spear and your shield and all that earthly armor, I'm coming at you in the name of El Shaddai. Amen. And El Shaddai took that little smooth stone and turned it into a Glock. Amen. Put a hole in that boy's head. Amen. We down here in the devil's world, y'all, and Jesus has birthed the church. This is the birth of the church. The church was born in AD 30. on the day when they were meeting, and they were all together in one place. And then suddenly, from heaven, like a roaring, mighty windstorm, and they filled the room where they were sitting. And every one of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, 120 in all. And every one of them received the Holy Spirit. And the first thing they started doing is what Jesus said. After the Holy Spirit comes on you, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the uttermost parts of this earth. That is the job of the church. Jesus said over in Matthew 28, and you look around verse 18 to 20, Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, I authorize you to go out and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. And then Jesus said, teach them what I taught you. Amen. We really mess up. We mess up on both parts. We don't tell. We can go through a whole week and not tell nobody about Jesus, even though we got the power to do it. We don't. And then when we do tell somebody about Jesus or find somebody who is in Jesus, we can't teach them what he taught us because we don't sit at his feet and learn nothing. We like Martha. Too many of us is like Martha. We running around doing this for Jesus. We running around doing that for Jesus. But that ain't telling nobody about him. That ain't telling nobody he died and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's what gets folks saved. But we ain't telling nobody that. And then after we tell them that, because we don't sit at his feet, we've been running around doing this, that, and the other for Jesus, but we ain't like Mary. Mary sat at his feet. Jesus said about Mary, Martha, you are concerned and burdened with a whole lot of stuff, but Mary has chosen that good part, that thing that will never be taken away from her. She was getting eternal blessings that not only served her in heaven, but served her in history, in present time. But the devil would be tricking us. We just glad to be saved. Amen. Yeah, somebody came and told us he died, didn't he die? To the earth rocking real like a drunken man or whatever they said. But when they said, do you want to join the church? We joined. And that was it. We ain't been to a Bible class since we joined the church. You can't tell Jesus, Jesus from the turn, y'all. You remember when Stephen was preaching that sermon? I watched it yesterday. All of a sudden, Stephen was preaching, and all of a sudden it turned. Amen. We're finna take a turn. You cannot tell Jesus you love him and you won't even read about him. You love Jesus, but you ain't even read the New Testament. But you're glad he died for you. You're willing to accept the salvation he purchased for you, and that's good. But you don't feel like you ought to show some attitude of gratitude for what he did for you? You don't feel like you ought to go around and, how good is salvation to you? I mean, really, I'm on Facebook all the time, and people constantly putting this food they saw, this movie they saw, these shoes they saw, this suit they saw. They're always on there with that stuff. I don't see nobody talking about how good Jesus is, unless he gave them some shoes that they want to show you or a car they want to show you. But they don't tell you he died and was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. You cannot do what Jesus told you to do unless you do what Jesus told you to do in 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Study. Jesus said study. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Don't worry about what you look like to your pastor or anybody else. If you're approved unto God, you don't need to worry about who else you might not or be approved to. If the Lord happy with you, they just ought to do a happy dance too. And if they don't, well, pray for them. But Jesus says, study to show yourself approved unto God so you can be a workman who don't need to be ashamed. Why? Because you ain't no workman. You've been in the church 50, 11 dozen years, and you ain't read the New Testament? Amen. He He says, study to show yourself approved unto God, or make it your ambition. Do your best to show yourself approved unto God so you can be workmen who don't need to be ashamed, but those who can, in fact, rightly divide the word of truth. You heard Deaconess June Rogers talk about Philip. That Ethiopian would still be lost if Philip was like a whole lot of us who received the Holy Spirit, so we got the power. But we won't go. Jesus said, go. Jesus said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel people to come in. We won't go. That's why he kicked us out of church, or allowed Satan to kick us out. The reason we outside the church is because we wouldn't get outside the church. Now we outside the church and everybody on Facebook. I see so many preachers on Facebook that I didn't even know they was preachers. But now we can't have church unless we're willing to risk the lives of our members. You willing to risk the lives of your members? You really take your crazy faith and say, hey, Jesus is going to keep us. Come on, y'all. Let's just break the rules that the CDC have put out. Let's just break the rules that the health department in the state of Michigan put out, and Jesus is going to keep us even while we just breaking the rules. Come on, y'all. Let's jump off this building. Let's not wear masks. Let's not get vaccinated, and Jesus is going to keep us. Are you all the way out your mind? Where in the world did you read in the Bible where the Lord told you not to do what you know to do? I think the Lord said in James 4:17 that when we know what to do and we don't do it, to us it becomes sin. Jesus tell Pastor, you go get vaccinated and you get your wife to get vaccinated. Amen. And then I'm supposed to tell you not to? Or he told you not to. He going, you special. Jesus is a respecter of persons now. He going to do for you what he wouldn't do for me. In other words, Jesus is going to keep you from getting infected, but he told me to get vaccinated. Amen. Lord, help us. We start getting it. On this vaccination thing, people love YouTube more than they love Jesus. They can't even hear Jesus say something, but they hear them nut jobs on YouTube talking about the devil trying to make robots out of us. The government is trying to shoot us all up with something. Bill Gates and his buddies trying to kill us, trying to wipe us out. Is that what Jesus told you? I thought Jesus said no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I thought I read in the book of Job that the devil got permission to come down there and wreck Job, wreck his, just take everything, even his health. Left him sick where he couldn't get well, scraping boils with a piece of broken pottery. But it didn't work, did it? Oh, I heard Joseph say, you meant evil. Yeah, you meant evil. Yes, you did. But God re-meant it for good. And many lives have been saved. Church, amen. We are the church. And right here in the book of Acts chapter 2, as I come to a close, this is where the church was born. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they all gave evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord used that as a sign to those who were standing around, and it got their attention. And Peter stood up and preached the first gospel sermon in the church to some Jews, proselytes to Judaism. These are people who weren't Jews, but like God told Abraham, if they want to buddy up with y'all, they're going to have to be circumcised and obey all the rules and regulations and bylaws of the Jews. And that way they become a pseudo-Jew. Or they were God-fearers. These are people who did everything else except circumcision, but they were favorable toward Judaism. So Peter is preaching to a crowd that will understand the Bible, and when you look at Peter's sermon, he uses scriptures to make his point. He tells them, this is the culmination of all that the prophets spoke about. No, we are not drunk. God has poured out his Spirit on us, on both men and women, and that's why you hear all this prophecy going on. That is how you are hearing the word of God in your own language. Now watch this. A lot of people missed this miracle. The 120 came out speaking the word of God, and people were hearing the word of God in their own native language. But watch this. When Peter preached, they were still hearing the word of God in their own native language, and only one person was preaching. And no, Peter did not have 50 interpreters out there. You heard Deaconess June Rogers name all the people who were there, Parthians, Medes, Mesopotamians, people from Phrygia, Pamphylia, everywhere. And they're hearing the wonderful word of God in their own language. God gave them the power to do that, to validate that God is doing this. And how do I know? When they got to the end and Peter opened the door to the church, 3,000 people got cut to the heart. See, that's something we cannot do. We cannot cut people to the heart like the Holy Spirit can. He can cause them to believe what we're saying. He can validate what we're saying, give validity to what we're saying, and cause people to believe. We can't do that. All we can do is plant a seed. All we can do is water that seed, but it's going to take God to give some increase. And they increased to 3,000 people in one day. And if you go on down to 42 through 47, Jesus said, after you get them baptized, they had to baptize 3,000 people. Lord Jesus. Amen. Deacon Tate, well, I'm telling you, we'd have to get 50 deacons to do that. People would be coming out of there looking like prunes in the water that long. But anyway, they baptized 3,000 people. Look at verse 42. And all the believers, amen, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Oh, now they're doing what Jesus said. They got them in the church, amen, and rather than making church members, they finna make disciples. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And then you start to see through Acts chapters 1 through 6, and that's what Running for Christ Ministries is. Amen. If you want to know anything about Running for Christ Ministries, you can find us in Acts chapters 1 through 6. That's the church that Jesus built. And this is the birth of that church. And Jesus birthed the church into the world for one purpose, to tell people that he died, to tell people that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And if they believe that, like you heard Pastor Jonathan Tate say, that's all you need to do, you're saved. That's our job. But how are you going to tell Jesus you love him and love what he did for you, but you are an undercover Christian? I just keep it to myself. Amen. I don't want to hire you as a salesperson, because I want you to go out into the highways and hedges and tell everybody. I want you to be like these people I see with this sign flipping all around. I want you to get people's attention. Jesus don't need no undercover Christians, especially in these days. We need to be verbal, visible, amen, where people can hear and see us. Instead of being, I'm so thankful he kicked us out of the church house, because we were so stuck up in there, even we were saying to ourselves, we need to go out there and tell the world we're going to hell in a roller coaster. Forget the hand basket, they in a roller coaster, not top thrill dragster. See the point? Amen. And where are we? How many people you tell about Jesus last week? How many people did you teach who are Christians last week? But here's the good news. This is another week, and we still the church, and we still filled with the Holy Spirit. So we can go out and tell somebody that he died, and if you want to, you can say, didn't he die? And you can say he stayed dead all day Friday. But don't say Saturday, because he went and preached to the antediluvian folks, the folks that Noah preached to who didn't believe, and Jesus went there to validate what he said. So if Jesus will validate what he said, he'll validate what you're saying. All you need to do is say it. Amen. I'm out of time, baby. Holy Ghost done poked me on the shoulder. My time is up, and I'm blaming Crystal. Crystal, it's your fault. Jesus let me keep right on preaching.
But I'm you on that roller coaster.
I'm real preaching.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe Holy Ghost
Lord
didn't bring me no she didn't bring me no napkin. She brought me a towel.
Yeah. I'm like, Jesus. Ooh, Lord have mercy. You know what? It's so funny, because when you first started preaching, you was nice and calm. I said, oh, okay, I guess Pastor, he ain't at the racetrack today. You know, it's so funny because my son, he loves the car, what is it, Dodge Charger. He loves the Scat Pack and the red eye, and so he
Oh, my Lord Jesus. So he got me looking for the everywhere I go. He like, Mommy, you hear it? I'm like, no, I hear what? So now I look for it. I look at it. He showed me videos the other day. People were just standing there just smoking and revving their tires. I said, no, this is some type of bullshit. But I found myself watching these 10 and 15 minute videos of all of these different types of this car. I'm like, okay, this is sweet, you know, and so I'm listening to you this morning, and I said, okay, well, Pastor, he ain't at the track today. He nice and calm and chill, but right at the end, you revved that car up, and I said, Lord, he's about to take off, and now he out of time. So, boy, I brought you a towel. Yeah, you all the way out of time, but oh, my goodness gracious. Like,
he threw the towel,
you know, take this towel and get on over here and come on and sit down. Yeah, we gonna let you go and regroup. And it, you know, I don't understand why you say you got a heart problem, because that heart just be going and Jesus be having you so excited. Jesus, please keep my pastor and keep that.
I've had to live with that
over
since,
there, Lord.
I had to live with that, Crystal, since the 70s, and the job I had was super mental, stressful. For 25 years, it was super mental and physical, and he got me through all of that.
And yet, here you are. Yes, Lord.
And here I am.
That's why
I go like I do.
go hard for the Lord. Lord have mercy. Well, we're going to let you calm down. We're going to let
Thank
you get that towel action together. Yes, we're going to let you chill all the way out. I'm going to do these announcements. Good morning. Happy Sunday to all of our Blog Talk Radio listeners here, new and old, who tune into our Sunday morning worship service. Y'all, it is intense. we've always had amazing classes and Saturday worship services, but it seems like Pastor said, since we got kicked out the church, you know, our services have been intense, and they continue to intensify because the Lord is not playing. There is something to be said about the fact that every single thing that we use to give time away from the Lord or take time away from the Lord, that stuff got shut down. And here we are still over a year later, not having been able to go back into the church house. There is something to be said about that. And we have a job to do as the body of Christ. And if we are outside of the church, that's the Lord telling us that we need to get it together, because like Pastor Jonathan always says, time ain't long. You know, we don't have a lot of time to get it together. So we need to do what the Lord is asking us to do. Lord have mercy. Well, we continue, of course, to say happy 18th anniversary to Run for Christ Ministries, a ministry of teaching, learning, and doing. Praise God. God knew what he was doing when he brought this ministry together. You know, we are small, but we are mighty, and that is for sure. The Lord has kept his promises, and he has been faithful. And 18 years later, he is still working in us and through us to continue to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we continue to praise God for all that he has done for us at Run for Christ Ministries. Amen. Of course, we're not celebrating in person, but spiritually we are together, and we will be here each and every Sunday. Of course, it's Saturdays, too. You know, Saturdays matter. But Sunday, because it's our Sunday morning worship service, and that's the one day where, you know, people tend to gather, and, you know, we can't, but we're here on Blog Talk Radio on Sundays, and it's a beautiful thing, because even though we're not physically in the church house, Run for Christ Ministries has not missed a Sunday service. We have been able to transition here onto Blog Talk Radio, and it has truly been a blessing. So, again, we will be here every Sunday to celebrate our 18th church anniversary. I mean, obviously, we're going to celebrate all month long because, duh, like, who doesn't celebrate a joyous occasion, a birthday, an anniversary, or whatever the case may be, all month long. So, of course, that's what we're going to do here. So make sure to tune in. Amen. Amen. So we always want to acknowledge our pastors at Run for Christ Ministries, Pastor O, Pastor Janice, Pastor Jonathan, parents, Pastor Janine, Mr. John McFall. We're so grateful for them. Romans 10:14-15 says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. And we thank you, Pastor O, for being that messenger of good news today. teaching and preaching the word of God to not just us at Run for Christ Ministries, but because of the Blog Talk Radio platform that God has so eloquently put in place, people all over the world who need to hear the word of God are able to do so. So we thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Just a couple of reminders that our Bible reading class is now held on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Deacon Eric Reed is teaching 2 Kings chapters 8 through 13. The questions have been emailed, and they are available online for you to access on our church website, rfcm.org, under Bible classes. Also, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall, which you know is Pastor O's brother. He used to be on Blog Talk on Saturdays, the 4th and 5th Saturdays. He didn't have nowhere near enough time. So now he has his own hour on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. teaching and preaching in his sermon series, Training Day. So set yourself a reminder each week to tune in at 4 p.m. on Tuesdays to listen to Reverend Richard Overall teach and preach in his sermon series, Training Day. Amen? Amen. So I totally missed this announcement yesterday. My pastor had to kind of come back and stand behind me, and then I realized, oh, that message was for everybody and not just me. So all of Pastor O's books, not just the one that I was mentioning, but all of Pastor O's books, yes, our pastor is an author, somebody who never thought that they would even be an author, somebody who talks about how they don't know how to write, okay, he's an author, and he's written some excellent books. So all of Pastor O's books are now $5 off from now until, still got a couple more weeks to get in there. So take advantage of the discount. $5 is a huge discount. Most of us don't get $5 off nothing. So $5 off is a great coupon, okay? Buy them for your kids, your family members who may not know the Lord, you know, someone who has just been saved and just trying to kind of get in there, you know, friends, people in your community, yourself, just whoever the Lord leads you to, you know, share these books with them. And bless their lives and your life as well. So if you want to purchase these, please go to our, pastorgmo.com. It's pastor's website, pastorgmo.com, to make your purchase. Amen? Amen. So the fourth Wednesday of every month from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. from now until November, First Fruit Living Ministries and Minister Shelley, along with Pastor O, anybody else who wants to join in, we'll be out in front of Run for Christ Ministries. There's a bus stop right there, praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, as well as giving out Bibles, handing out lunches, having conversations with people about the Lord. So if you're able to make it out, please do. Again, it's the fourth Wednesday of every month from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. right there at the bus stop that's right in front of the building, RFCM. All right? As a reminder, all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Just visit rfcm.org, of course, our church website, and click on Blog Talk Radio, and you'll have access to all of our classes and services from the very beginning, all for free. So they're available for you 24/7, 365. Download them, listen to them, do whatever you need to do, but make sure you share them. Share these classes and these services with others. Don't just, like Pastor said, don't just be selfish. I'm gonna keep my Christianity to myself. I'm just going to keep. No, share it. It's meant to be shared, so share them. Amen? And as previously stated, for the entire month of April, Run for Christ Ministries, we are celebrating our 18th anniversary, 18 years of teaching, learning, and doing. And we know that during this pandemic, our members and friends don't have as much, you know, finances as they normally would. But we are asking for you to be so kind and generous and asking for $1 for each year. So that's $18. So a dollar for each year, or whatever the Lord Jesus has laid on your heart, whatever he leads you to give, give that. And for those who cannot give financially, we understand, but please make sure to include us in your prayers. Amen. So if you would like to give, of course, go to our church website, rfcm.org, and we thank you from the Run for Christ Ministries family. Amen. So with that, if you would like to bless us at RFCM with a free love offering, or if you're a member, you want to pay tithes or give any other additional offerings, go to our church website, and you will find all the information you need right there. Amen. We want to continue to thank everyone that faithfully gives to Run for Christ Ministries, even though we're not physically present in the building. And because you continue to support, we were, of course, able to give our first installment to the outreach ministries that we help. So Forgotten Harvest, Salvation Army, Detroit Rescue Mission, Covenant House, Bondage Breaker Ministries, Gleaners, and First Fruit Living Ministries. Praise God. You know, we know these ministries help lots of hurting and struggling people in different capacities all year long. So we praise God for you. God bless you. And we thank you again for more info on our outreach or for any information about Run for Christ Ministries at all. Of course, our church website, rfcm.org, is where you will go for that. In addition to this, if you want to give a love offering for Pastor O, he brought the word to us today, please visit his website, pastorgmo.com. Again, that's pastorgmo.com, and click donate. Amen. All right, so we know that prayer is simply talking to God, and it's essential to bringing heaven down to earth. We know Deaconess Nicole Seabrook, when she prayed today, that is exactly what she did. Every time we get altar call, heaven come right on down to earth, and we are so, so thankful. So John 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. No thing, not one, zero, zip, zilch, nada. Apart from the Lord, nothing's happening. So Deuteronomy 31, verse 8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. We have been commanded, seek God's help and God's hand in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it is our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. We're all in the body. We're not all hands. We're not all feet. We're not all eyes. We don't all do the same things, but we all need to work in the purpose that God has created for us so the body of Christ can do what it's designed to do. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so we ask that you pray for those who are sick, shut in, as well as one another and yourself. Don't forget you. Pray for our children, our nation, our world, our leaders, everyone who has, you know, been, I feel like you're essential. If during this pandemic you've had to go outside of your house for any reason to do any job, I feel like you're essential. Amen. So we keeping you lifted up in prayer. We know that the numbers have gone up. Hospital workers, you know, they always work hard, but they are back having to work even harder because the numbers are going up. You know, this thing is serious, and I don't think everyone's taking it seriously. Pastor mentioned, you know, the wearing the masks and getting vaccinated, and we know that everybody has their reasonings or whatever for doing what they have to do, but this thing is serious, you know, so we just can't make light of it, okay? So we are continuing to lift them up in prayer, obviously. The many missing and exploited who are being trafficked and abused, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who are persecuted for their belief and service to the Lord. We are free here, so to speak, in the United States. You may have, you know, a small group of people who got an issue with the fact that you're praising the Lord. They don't really have an issue with you. They have an issue with God, you know, but we are not somewhere where we have to hide the fact that we're Christians and we have to hide the fact that we're serving God, but we have brothers and sisters all over the world who cannot, and they're being persecuted and killed for their belief in their service. Prayers go out to all of our mothers at Running for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, excuse me, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia, as well as Brother Tyrone Hamilton and Pastor John Mack. We also ask that you pray for the jurors in Minnesota on the upcoming decision that needs to be made in the case of George Floyd's murder. You know, sometimes we are out of sight, out of mind. You know, we're focused on ourselves, but this type of stuff is still happening, whether it makes news, social media, or not. We still have to pray because these things like this, are going on all over the world, and we are the ones who can make things happen. Amen? Amen. So pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, remembering Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, which today is your household, Judea, which today is your community, Samaria, which today is outside of the comfort zone where you wouldn't, excuse me, normally go, but they got a coupon for that store, so you're gonna go over there, or to the ends of the earth. You know, those are places where you never thought you'd go, places where you never even thought existed, you never even thought about it. Well, you know what? They need the word of God too, and it's our job to spread the good gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, so that no souls are left behind. Amen. Amen. So 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 reads, Samuel said, which does the Lord prefer, obedience or offerings and sacrifices? It is better to obey him than to sacrifice the best sheep to him. Now, it was literal sheep, of course, back in that day, but what do you offer up to God in place of your obedience to him? Is it work, your family, your kids, your social life, social media, money, etc.? Whatever it is, that's your sheep. So if God asks you to plant a seed, then plant it. If he asks you to water the seed, water it. Whatever you have to give up to do what God asks is nothing in comparison to the blessings you will receive by being obedient. Amen. Amen. So Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So when you are sad or heartbroken over the loss of a friend or a loved one, or even just the loss of life that we see, hear, and read about, you know, in our daily lives, use these scriptures as well as many others to give you strength and encouragement that only the word of God can give. Amen. So with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and prayers, especially the families of those lost to the many various mass shootings that have happened all across our nation. We pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you at all times. Amen. We're all part of the body of Christ, and we need each other. Matthew 5, verses 14, 15, and 16 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a lamp light a lamp and put it under a bowl. There we go. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We know that blessings are not always in the form of money or things. A smile or a kind word goes a long way, and the gift of love is free. Now, we know we got to wear these masks, so it's kind of hard to gauge how somebody's feeling or what they're thinking. You don't even know if somebody's smiling at you. You basically got to make eye contact and hope for the best. So we got to figure out a way to let people know that we're still smiling at them and giving them a nice little happy nod, you know, even through the fact that we're wearing these masks. But we know that those things go a long way. And we know that the gift of love is free. So take time out to be a ray of light to someone today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen. And to our Run for Christ Ministries family, we know we're not together physically, but we have and always will be together in spirit. And as the Lord says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. And we know, without a doubt, that more than two or three filled with the Holy Spirit have come together this morning. So we thank God in advance for our answered prayers. Amen. So got a devotional for you, of course. And it's titled Believing God in Every Situation by Dr. Charles Stanley. So I wanted to read Habakkuk chapter 1, but for the sake of time, I can't. I do, however, ask that you go back and read it and remember this as you do. All right. So the devotional reads, knowing that the Lord is overseeing and directing every circumstance in our life is a great comfort, but it can also raise questions about his role in the process. For example, how is he involved in situations that in and of themselves are not good? Does God cause people to sin? The answer is no. He never initiates sin, nor does he tempt us to do evil, James 1:13. Christ came to rescue us from the penalty, power, and eventually the very presence of sin. How does the Lord use our sin for good? When we make a mistake, the Holy Spirit convicts us and reveals the ugliness of sin so we can confess and repent. Then if we persist in disobedience, the Lord disciplines us so we can become more like Christ, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10, and share his holiness. In the process, we experience his grace and forgiveness. Is God involved in the lives of unbelievers? His love and kindness are demonstrated generally by his provisions and blessings for earthly life, but specifically in the giving of his son as the savior of mankind. It's Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 4. Whatever you're not sure about how God thinks about sin or deals with it, go to his word, and he will guide you into truth. So as some final thoughts, ask yourself those above questions and answer honestly. The Lord welcomes your honesty. The Holy Spirit will convict you but not condemn you, and of course you can't change what you don't acknowledge. So confess these areas of your life and allow God to work on you, because as Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, the God who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. No one else can do this for you. This is a choice that you have to make. There is a difference between asking God questions and questioning God. So when you're unsure where God stands on a thing, go to his word and allow it to direct your path. Amen. Amen. Those are your announcements.
Okay. And I got my mic on. Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate all
you're
of
welcome.
That.
You're
Amen.
Welcome.
Amen. It's greatly appreciated, you know, and like you said, if we mess it all up and if we haven't been telling people about Christ, then all we got to do is start. That's the wonderful thing about being a Christian. When
Amen.
Jesus comes, and like you say, he won't condemn you, but he will convict you. And
that's right.
If you feel convicted about not telling nobody about Jesus, if you see me put something on Facebook or if you see me send something out by email, click share. Amen.
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 And you're Amen. Good. Amen.
That's right.
Thank you, Crystal.
Amen. You're
Appreciate
welcome.
You. Love
of
you to
course.
Life.
Love you too.
And tell Mir he a Mopar man. He picked the right cards.
Oh, God.
He picked none.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
He's a Mopar man. That's right.
Driving
Dodge,
crazy.
Plymouth, Chrysler,
yes,
Mopar, yes. baby. Mopar.
Oh, Jesus. Help.
See you later.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. All right.
Hey, man, we want to thank God for each and every one of you who tuned in, and thank you for helping celebrate in our 18th anniversary. You know, if you can give the $18, we appreciate that. But if you can't, please pray for us. Amen. Amen, because we're facing the same thing those folks faced in the book of Acts. We just talked about the birth of the church, but I want to encourage you to read the entire book of Acts or get the DVD, or if you got Prime, you can watch Acts for free. You can see the whole 28 chapters, amen, and it's from the NIV version, so every word you hear is right out of the Bible, but you get a visual to go along with that, and you will finish it off. You'll not only see the birth of the church, but you will see the growth, which takes place chapters 1 through 13, really, and 2 through 13, that's where the church starts to grow. And then after that, you'll see the expansion of the church. So I gave you the birth today. You can go and get the growth and the expansion parts. And if you really want to know how the word got from AD 30 to us, get my book, The Church That Jesus Built, from AD 30 to 2020. Amen. Amen. And like Crystal said, the price has been lowered on both books by $5. What was 20 is 15. What was 15 is 10. And the church that Jesus built will be the book, Lord willing, that we will use in September when we go back into our advanced Bible class on Mondays. It'll be on Mondays now. And we'll be looking at the church that Jesus built. In other words, church history. It's a 12 to 15 week course. And so, hey, man, you get an opportunity, get it and find out what Jesus did after the book of Acts. Hey, man, you might find out a whole lot of things that you've been told is not quite true. Hey, man, so anyway, I want to send a big old giant shout-out and a whole lot of love to Curtis and Naomi Carter. They got married yesterday, y'all. I tried to talk them out of it, but they still did it. Anyway, they got married yesterday. We want to bless their wedding. My wife and I, we got our blessing together for them. We want to definitely put a good seed in so to promote a marriage that people will look at, amen, and want that. Amen? Because I've seen some marriages that they spent $20,000, okay? Didn't work. I saw some folks get married in a driveway, and I performed it, and it was oil on the driveway, and they still together. So, amen, we want to let God work out in this marriage what he's going to get out of it. He knew it before it happened. So let's pray for it, and let's bless them so they can get off to a good start. Amen. So get in touch and find out where you need to send your blessing for this marriage. Amen? Amen. So God bless you and God keep you. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may he make his face to shine on you and give you peace until we all meet again. And you know I love to close with something special. I would have got the gospel singers, but they don't talk about witnessing. I would have got the inspirational singers, but they don't talk about witnessing. So I had to go get Lecrae and the 116 Click, and they put together this song called Send Me. God bless you. God keep you. Pay attention to the words, even though the beat is banging.
Jesus as their savior, as their body hit the street. And I know this is a graphic view. I pray that it's attacking you, tracking you to act and do what you see in the back of Lucian. Matthew 24 and 14, we should read it twice before we think that life is just a battle. Says make disciples of all nations. Have we even made them in our own nation? Come on, Christians. Missions exist because worship doesn't. People don't worship the God that made them. We ambassadors. Let's go.